Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I am Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Kevin Dunn. You can reach us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. The funky soul, Sam Pico, twisting and tweaking the dials. I don't even know what this is. But you know the feel I'm getting from this, though? And you'll feel this, Sam? I'm getting a Morris Day and a Times feel. I know it ain't it.
Bro, you nailed it.
Is that
it?
This
is Morris Day, bro.
Yeah. I kind of got a Morris Day feel. That's great. Oh, that's awesome. Morris Day. I haven't heard Morris Day in forever. Remember, was Morris Day in Purple Rain?
I don't know.
Was he in that?
I don't remember, honestly.
Okay. Because he was in like a movie or something at one point. I got to look that up. I mean, my memory's been faulty today. It's been off a little bit. Anyway, Sam is keeping us inspired with the funkadelic tunes, the funkalicious tunes that he's playing right now. We got to talk some NBA news, notes, and nuggets, and we'll get to that here in just a second. What I do like about the NBA's schedule, though, and it reminds me almost of March Madness, I love turning on the TV in the middle of the day and seeing basketball. It's something very, it's just refreshing and uplifting to turn on and see NBA basketball in the middle of the day. Maybe it's just basketball period in the middle of the day.
I love it. So yeah. I had two TVs on before coming to work today, and I was prepping. That's one of the great things about it. It was Nets, Bucks, and then also Twins and
ooh.
Who are they
You're
playing? I was really
BK,
focused on the
huh?
Twins more. Yeah. But it was on during the day, and I thought this is great. Yeah, Pittsburgh, good call.
Yeah.
I knew it was weird. Yeah. You're
trying to have a sportsgasm, weren't you?
I really was.
That's what BK calls it. I love that term.
Yeah, it's a great term. But like you said, it's during the day, and so also the other day game that was going on started, I think, a little bit after that. Mavericks and the Kings. Mavs end up winning that. NOT 114-110. Luka. Jesus, I
yeah,
love
he's
this
unbelievable.
Guy. 34 points, 20 rebounds, 12 dimes.
Yeah. He's
that's that's just not a sneak by triple double. That is a big boy triple double.
And I think he leads the NBA in triple doubles right now. If he continues on this pace, and I believe that he will be the youngest NBA player ever to lead the NBA in triple doubles because he'll be 21 plus years old. So he's a freak of nature. It's a great stat. Called it's total points created. They per 36 minutes. They take points scored, assists, and screen assists. That means you set a screen for somebody and they score off of that screen.
Right.
They call it screen assists. And they do it per 36 minutes to account for any.
Which I wish we had that when I played.
I
never played at a high level, but that would have added to my lackluster game.
That would have made you more impactful on the court.
All of a sudden, maybe would have balanced out the turnovers that I had.
But you were a defensive hawk, right? Junkyard dog?
I could jump, and I'd D up.
Honestly, me and your game is probably very similar. I didn't have a shot, and my handles weren't great, but my defense was impenetrable. And I hustled like hell. Like
yeah.
And I'm unselfish, so I don't need to really score. I'll do everything. I'll rebound.
Passing more than shooting.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I really did.
Yeah, I'm that guy. So I think our games is very similar, which means we probably shouldn't be on the same team.
We shouldn't be on the same team. We should be guarding each other. That's what we should be doing.
We would X each other, cancel each other out.
Yeah, those guys, outside of a screen assist, they're not going to give you much.
Don't worry about guarding those guys. They combine all these points, and when they do it, they say Giannis leads the NBA in total points created per 36 minutes, and they account for different playing time. He creates 58.4 points per 36 minutes. Luka is second in the NBA in total points created. 56.3. He creates so much offense just in the different things he does. His ability to, get to the rim, his ability to shoot, of course, him being a guy that can manufacture offense, his passing ability. LeBron is behind him, by the way, at number three, 53.2 points. And James Harden is behind LeBron. So Luka is right up there with the top four or five best players in the NBA in terms of creating offense, generating offense.
He's a joy to watch.
He is.
And so that's a good win for them as they win in overtime. Some of the other games that are going on right now. Let me get back there. I think that's the only one. Here we go. Magic Pacers going on. Also Celtics and the Heat.
Pacers are putting it on them.
They are. Pacers up 71-50, and that's at the half. Heat are up 31-25, about to finish the first.
Nets beat the Bucks. That's interesting.
Nets beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
Freak 16-6-4, so not a big game for him. And tonight, what do we have? We've got Rockets at the Trailblazers. We talked about your Rockets a little bit. I mean, hell, the way they're playing right now, pretty impressive win considering everything they didn't have against Milwaukee.
What I like about the Rockets, at least what I'm seeing so far that's helping them stand out is, you know, they are doing a really good job of making plays on defense and being able to really can, I would say, being comfortable in the chaos. They basically create chaos with their small ball lineup.
Yeah.
That's what they did against the Bucks.
But that's important communication and even nonverbal communication because you're not going to be able to always switch as much. But you got to be smart with that and when to switch, how to switch. Mm-hmm. And even in that game, so they didn't play last night in the Milwaukee game.
The Milwaukee game, yeah.
There were a couple times where I saw them very quickly make a switch defensively that didn't cause anything. But it was smart. It was getting, you don't want to say size, but 6'7 or 6'8 down low when they need to.
Yeah, and that's what they've been trying to do. They're going to get out-rebounded. They know that. They're going to get dominated on the boards. There's nothing they can do about that. What they can try to win is the turnover battle, which they've been doing a really good job of. And even against Milwaukee, I want to say Milwaukee, 21% of their, I want to say it was numbers around 21% of their possessions, they had a turnover. I mean, they had a ton of turnovers in that game because the Rockets were so, they were so chaotic in their defense. I mean, they switch everything. Nobody switches more, as you brought up, than the Rockets. And they're getting their hands on basketballs. And it seems like that small ball lineup is just able to generate just enough turnovers for them to gain an edge. And that's all they need, man.
22 turnovers for Milwaukee
it was
in that game.
It was
unbelievable. Compared to 9 for Houston.
They were just causing chaos.
That really was the separation in a game that was that tight and needed a Houston 9-0 run in midway through the fourth quarter to make that a game, which was a fun game down the stretch.
Yeah, they were down 8 with less than 3 minutes left. Went on that 16-4 run to close it out with no Eric Gordon. And here's a great stat that I was looking at. So in terms of turnover rate, right, turnover rate, that's the percentage of possessions where you turn the basketball over. I brought up that the Bucks had a 21.7% turnover rate, meaning 21% of their 21.7% of their possessions, they turn the basketball over. Their usual turnover rate is around 14%. So that is huge. And the same thing actually happened with the Mavs. The same thing happened with them. Their turnover rate usually pretty low, and it was really, really high against the Rockets, or at least reasonably low, and it was really high against the Rockets. So that's kind of their key to defense. Their defense is they're not going to.
You said chaos.
They just got to get it's controlled chaos, pretty much, and they just want to make you uncomfortable with those extreme conditions they create with so many three pointers, with the small ball lined up, with so much isolation, and sooner or later, you basically lose control of the game. And you see everybody. The Mavs had a lead on the Rockets. They were up 7 on them, right, with 45 seconds left in that game, and the Bucks were up 8 with 3 minutes left. They were in control of those games, but that control is fleeting when the Rockets put so much extreme pressure on you in so many different ways.
And they're not out of it, too, because of the threes they're shooting. So they missed a ton of threes. What were they, 22 or 62 around
they were,
there?
Like 34%. They weren't great.
No, and they put up, tied a record for putting up the
61.
61. Yeah, I mean, they were putting it up. But it does allow them to have some of those 9-0 runs, which one was a hardened block.
Yep.
PJ had a steal and a three, and all of a sudden you're able to cut a deficit pretty quickly.
Gives them margin for error, right? So they had 61 three-point shots. They went 21 of 61. Not great, 34%. But you go look at the two-pointers, they were 15 of 30 on two-pointers. So you're around 50% of the two-pointers, and they hit 27 free throws. They were 27 of 31. So the three-point margin, you're looking at like, man, that's not great, but it gives them margin for error. Because like you said, yeah, they could have a drought here and there, and yeah, they're a little bit off. But if they hit a string of threes when they get hot at the right time, and they've been getting hot at the right time
they're
in the fourth quarter,
they're not out of a game.
They're never out of a game. And I love this stat, and we'll move on after this.
And teams, on the flip side, if they're up 10, they're not going to necessarily seal it.
Just think about the extremes, right.
For me, without a dog in the fight, that's even though I don't love their brand of ball, that makes it fun.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have a horrible game against some underwhelming opponent pretty soon, too, because the extremes.
Like Portland tonight?
Could be against Portland, because the extremes always come back to the mean, right? At one point, you're going to regress to the mean. You're not always. Look at this. They right now, NBA teams are in NBA history are 1 in 177 when they allow 110 points or more, get out rebounded by at least 25 rebounds, and shoot under 40% from the field. That one win was the Rockets versus the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody, you're not supposed to win that type of basketball. It doesn't make sense. Milwaukee was 50-0 when leading by 8 points with 3 minutes or left, 3 minutes or less left during the regular season. 50-0. They are now 50-1. It's just, it's so extreme. You can't simulate that. This is what Sean McVay said this about the Baltimore Ravens. He said, you know, the problem I have that why we can't really prepare for him is because we don't have a quarterback that runs a 4-3, and you don't see that type of offense in the NFL. The only time you see the Ravens offense is when you play the Ravens.
Right.
You don't see it anywhere. Nobody. It's the same thing with Shanahan, right? Shanahan with the 49ers. You don't see anybody running 21 personnel like the 49ers until you see the 49ers. The problem with that is it's like playing Army. In our Navy.
That's a great, right? Air, like, Force. It's a great example.
You play a triple option during a spread era. The only time you can see it is when you play them. So I can't even simulate it in practice. So Sean McVay said, man, when you play Baltimore, their biggest advantage is nobody has seen that offense with that quarterback running that speed. And when you see it for the first time, as Eric Weddle said, I didn't even know where the ball was half the time.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the damn ball was.
That was a great quote after that.
I don't know where the ball is. That's being brutally honest.
He was.
You're indicting yourself. Like, you know where the ball
was.
You're an NFL player.
I was shocked you said it, but after watching the game, I thought, you know what? It explains it. Because it did look too fast for y'all.
Oh, it did. And I think when you have a quarterback running that, you know, who runs a 4-3, that's how fast it is. I think the Rockets are Baltimore in a similar situation. They have so many extremes going on. It's hard to simulate or replicate that.
I think you're right. You know what's funny about that is how quickly, not quickly, how I'm older than I'm giving myself credit for.
You're old soul, though.
Yeah.
You're about 10 years older than you actually are.
There's a lot of truth to that. But growing up, that was in college and pros, and it was with the same city, your city. That was what the run and shoot was.
It was.
And now it's like, oh, no, we can, 5 wide? Man, please.
It was, yeah.
Please.
Love you, Blue. You're right.
We run more shovel passes than we do ISOs. We're okay with that. You don't see
and
the shovel passes.
And we should have won a Super
anymore,
Bowl with that advantage that nobody had caught up to yet, but we didn't.
No.
You're right.
No, you did. But now it's what you see all the time, especially growing up here in Texas, because every high school would run it. Oh, they're running the triple option?
Triple option.
Oh, God. Great. Yeah. Who are we going to get to run this?
There's a high school team that still runs it. Oh, I can't think of who it is. They still run it, and they have a lot of success with it, too. But you're right. It's a unicorn. You don't see it anymore.
It is. But
that's why Navy can come out and just whip up on somebody, and you're like, how did Navy beat U of H? How did Navy beat Kansas State, I think. Last year, right? And they beat them in a bowl game.
Navy and Army have been
beating people like that for
years.
People
up, yeah. Army, especially the last couple of years. All right, so we do have the Rockets tonight. That'll be an 8 p.m. start if you want to check that out on ESPN. Rockets and Trailblazers, obviously, from the bubble in Florida.
The bubble.
Spurs played last night and got a loss. Saw Pop saying, man, we should have had that one.
They should have had it.
They should have had it.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving them any hope for this year. I mean, at this point, you just want to try and get in, or at least be part of that where you're in that little mix to try and get in.
Oh, yeah, that little play-in
stuff. But there is a little bit of a core there that they've got with some young guys.
Yeah.
And if I know getting a free agent is going to be tough for them. Hell, keeping guys, if you have a star, was proven tough with Kawhi Leonard. But they're and in the NBA, you're going to have to get one of those guys. It'll be tough to draft them. If they do, they've got some pieces around there to work with.
I agree with you.
Some young pieces.
They found something. I expected, I didn't expect the Spurs to roll over, but I expected them to underwhelm me here in the bubble.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
DeRozan was.
Yeah, DeRozan's playing well, and it seems like they've embraced essentially their small ball identity.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's, and Pop said this, we don't really have a guy playing point guard or.
You got White, Murray,
side distributor.
He technically said, both points.
He said, yeah, but we just play with a bunch of guys who can handle the rock and a lot of guys who can be distributors for us. And it's almost a four guard-ish lineup when they go Derek White, DeJounte Murray, DeRozan, and Lonnie Walker. Everybody that can handle the rock, and it's worked out for them. And Jakob Poeltl, I think, is usually their big man to start out with.
Right.
I like what the Spurs are doing. I didn't think they'd have a chance to make the playoffs, but they got a shot, man. They got a shot. You should never count out the Spurs, and that's me. It's my fault for counting them out. It's a me problem.
And how about the old man? Speaking of old man, Rudy Gay, who I mentioned yesterday, comes
in.
Forgot
about Rudy Gay.
Rudy needed to I don't want to say clean his act up, but just kind of needed to be a little bit more efficient for them. And he was last night. He had 24 points. That was not the problem for them. That Eubanks came off and gave them 10 and 6 off the bench. But yeah, this is more about building for the future for them. And they're also they're more than watchable. That was actually, you know, you get Spurs Sixers last night. To me, the Sixers are still fun to watch because a lot like we talked about with Houston, they're trying stuff that maybe not necessarily everyone is. They've changed out a little bit, but now they've got Simmons. Talk about having different positions on there. Simmons, who's trying to make that adjustment to forward, and then Embiid and his game and what they're trying to do, for me, is always enjoyable to watch,
and,
whether they're playing well or not. And they were last night.
And you just brought up that size, and that's why they have an advantage over the Spurs, too. You brought up the fact that they're going more small-ish. You know, the 76ers are probably one of the longest, tallest teams in the league with Simmons, who they're now transitioning to the front court. But then you got, you know, Joel Embiid and Horford. I mean, you got some size on that group.
Yep.
With that
team. And then my boy Tobias Harris, who I love, who filled it in for 25. All right, so there's some NBA stuff. Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is they're dealing with all types of stuff right now. The Marlins. Marlins obviously had been having issues. Now, you did see that the Cardinals series was officially canceled, and we've got two positive tests, Paul DeJong and then also Yadier Molina. Molina says he is among the cards to test positive for coronavirus. So at this point, Jesus, let's just try and get all their games in.
Yeah, the
13 members of the Cardinals.
13 in total?
13
of
members.
The organization?
Seven players. Yeah, six staff members have tested positive. So that's why you had the postponement with St. Louis and Detroit this week. The Cardinals have played only three games this season.
Man, that's crazy.
They're hoping to get back into that. That's what I was talking about. The Cubs, I'm looking at, it's like, oh, they're 9-2. And then you see the Cardinals. They played three games. And so it's hard to even look and say, well, where are you in the division? And obviously, they're going to have to make sure that they get all these games in. You can't, especially with 60.
That?
Well, they're just going to have to continue to delay it. That's why I'm saying they can play in this thing in December.
But they got a 7-inning doubleheaders, but how many doubleheaders can you play in a row?
I don't know. And yet, I mean, you talk about arm issues and worrying about stuff like that. That gets back to
That's kind of my
one and done a little bit. But, yeah, so the Cardinals are hoping to get back this weekend or Friday and host Chicago, which would be their fourth game. And I'm not sure how many games the Cubs would have at that point.
We can get into this tomorrow, but Jeff Passan, I saw him, and I have the sound on my Twitter account somewhere. He claims that Major League Baseball is looking into a playoff bubbles.
Okay.
Like the NHL.
Okay.
Like because now they're seeing, all right, it may be almost impossible for us to finish the season. And if we can get some semblance of a season going here.
And remember, the players didn't want the bubble.
The
baseball players have. They didn't want it.
But I think now, looking at all these outbreaks on different teams and how much of a nightmare it is to quarantine the members of the team and then delay the season and postpone games, I think now they may be a little bit more willing to talk about the bubble. And Jeff Passan, like I said, we'll play the sound tomorrow. Maybe I'll send Sam the sound and we can play it next segment. Jeff Passan says the playoff bubble is a possibility for Major League Baseball, just for the playoffs, which I think would be pretty smart.
If they
can do
it,
really, if you can
smart.
Do it with the NHL.
If you can get there, yeah.
Yeah, if you can get there. And now you're right. Now you're just trying to get there.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's going to have to play the same amount of games. Other news, Braves ace Mike Soroka. This guy's got a heavy ass sinker, man. He rolls a bowling ball up there. He's a really, really good young pitcher. I'm not just saying this because I had picked the Braves to win the East. I think all picks, for the most part, with COVID now, seem up in the air. But that's really going to be tough for a Braves team that was already kind of up and down early on here. They got to have a guy like Mike Soroka. They've already had Mike Fulton-Evitz, who was designated for assignment because he was blowing up early on. That wouldn't have been injuries. That was just not pitching well. So Braves are in a weird spot. And your Astros, Rod, are in a tough spot. We talked about it yesterday with all the rookies. They've had 14 rookies have to play.
It's unbelievable.
10 of them are pitchers.
Pitchers, I know.
And that's only going to continue now. Roberto Osuna, it is being reported that Osuna is going to need Tommy John surgery. Earlier today, Dusty Baker said when they looked at the MRI, this is such an old baseball, Dusty. And Dusty, if you think of an old baseball guy, think of Dusty Baker. You know, he still wears the wristbands that have your picture on it like they would in the 80s?
No, he doesn't. Yeah. No, that's not true. Is he really?
Oh, still.
I thought you were
joking.
Still,
no, because he's got wristbands all the way up. He looks like Chad with how much stuff he has on his forearms and on his wrist.
He's got flair.
He's got the old Dusty Baker picture, almost like a baseball card. And it's facing away, too, so whoever, I guess, shakes his hand can look at it. But anyway, Dusty said earlier today, MRI doesn't look too good.
No.
Which is right away, that's a baseball way of saying, okay, so.
He's done.
So he's out for the year. So your closer's out. You've got Justin Verlander, who's in a weird spot. We just talked about the pitching. You're not giving up that quickly, are you? With all the talent y'all have?
Yeah, they're not going to win the World. They're not going to play in the World Series this year.
Oh, well, look how snobby you've become as an Astros fan right away. We're not going to play for the
No, ring. But they'll be a good team, but they won't play for the World Series. It's just they need some more arms. They need quality arms. I think some of their young pitchers they brought out, those rookies, have been really good. And I love a young Christian Javier has been promising.
Yeah, he's got good stuff.
Belak has been promising. Mm-hmm. They got some guys, but they're not ready yet to make that kind of playoff push to get to a World Series. So. I don't think necessarily the Astros are going to make it to the World Series.
All right, let's play that passing sound whenever we get back. Also, some NFL headlines. NFL does have the deadline to opt out. There are a couple things within that if you don't hit that deadline, they're still going to pay you your money. We'll get to that up next on the Horn. Welcome back to the Triple Option with RVKD, Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, Sam Pika is behind the glass. BK, out for the week. We'll be back next week. I'm taking my week. He's taking his week. Are you just not going to take a little time and just...
I probably will take a few days, maybe not a week. I need to go see my parents. I need to try to get to Houston and get to Louisiana. I know.
Mom's in Louisiana,
Louisiana. So I might take a couple of days to make a long weekend and get to see the parents. Other than that, I'm not going anywhere, so I'm taking a vacation.
I know. Some people are, and good for them.
No, you should. You should take vacations, more of them. That's why Americans are stressed out, and we end up dying from stuff we shouldn't die from. We're just stressed out. We work harder than a lot of other westernized nations. We should take more vacation days. Stick it to the man.
Totally with you.
Yeah.
I didn't get it as a kid. I thought, well, why don't we do 4 and 3?
You should. I agree with you on that. Should be a 4 and 3. Or at least once a month, 4 and 3. You should get 1 3-day weekend a month, in my opinion.
A month?
Yep. Along with the weekends usually, but we need 1 3-day weekend a month. Well, maybe not now. COVID's
it. I read an article recently, and obviously this can be different, what industry, company, all that, but that a company had made the change. And they at least had the results of the productivity was way up. So the 4 days you're really busting your ass.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. There's some people that, kind of just sit at work and and God bless you if you're getting paid for it and they're not mad at you.
But yeah.
It's like I'm playing solitaire.
A lot of the studies. Interesting.
I've already got my work done and I have to be here.
The studies a lot of people just mentally they work. Kind of a half day on Mondays because they're just upset that it's Monday.
Right.
Takes a while to work your way into have the right attitude about the work week.
Got to kiss the Mondays.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. And then Fridays, just because you're so happy about the weekend and you're ready to get it. So there's actually some theories out there that you basically work a half a day on Mondays and Fridays anyway because you're either recovering from the weekend or looking forward to the weekend. And then it gets to the point about the 4 day work week.
And Monday doesn't feel as Monday ish. It's still Monday if you got a Friday off.
Oh, yeah. It's a different. Everything's different when you know you got a Friday off.
Because you got I got a 3 day weekend coming up.
Everything's
this
different.
This is really a Tuesday. I'm going to tell myself that. No one loves a Tuesday, but it's better than a Monday.
A Tuesday with a Friday as the first day of the weekend is different than a Tuesday when you got to wait till Saturday.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
I agree. I'm with you.
Okay. Well,
I'm with you, brother.
Well, you and I should run for office,
Hey, and legalize marijuana, you'd win.
We're giving people a Sophie's choice. We wouldn't be that.
More vacation, legalized marijuana, you probably get half of the population just on those two things. Right,
probably.
There.
The marijuana thing is that thing's moving. Honestly, that's not even.
I don't know what Trump's waiting on. I swear I thought Trump would have done it.
I thought he would have
earlier this year. I swear this
year.
Because he's so random, you know what I mean, and erratic it's about
fair.
Different sides of things. I just thought he'd been like, it's legal, and because I said so. Like, oh, it does. It's because he said so. What about
Smoke
the legal
away.
Statute? I don't give a damn. Let them all out of jail if they went to jail for weed. And I'd have been like, you know, honestly, I thought he'd have did it just so he could gain more votes.
Yes.
Because I think there are some people who are single-item voters, and I know it sounds very shallow, but that single-item for some people
like that.
I legalized marijuana. He's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll vote for him.
Well, as a moderate, I would yell at both and say, hey, you know, usually you play to us. Usually you play to the center. I'd appreciate you guys start doing that a little bit right now.
Don't be surprised if he does it right before the election. Right before the election. I was like, you know, I've been thinking
Done
about
deal.
It. It's been on my heart. And I'm just going to legalize marijuana. I don't know why Obama didn't do it. Sell out. I was like, I know he's going to do it. And I'm thinking people going to be like, I didn't think he'd do it. And he's going to win after that. He's going to win based on weed. It's going to be a revolutionary concept.
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought?
Trump wins on weed. He's never smoked.
But it's about the money, though. It's about the economic impact.
So I've missed.
And it's the fastest growing industry in America, and it's tons of money in it, which are not even, you can't even federally put them in banks, that money. It's a cash industry.
I've missed a lot in my life in terms of calls. I mean, I thank God I didn't have enough money to invest in Blockbuster back in the day.
Ooh.
I probably would have gone all in on that. Where's this thing going to go, guys? It's only going to go up.
Well, as long as you sold it at the right time. Well, you'd have been
rich. Right. Yeah, it depends on when I got in and when I got
out. Man?
But on this one, I knew. I thought it's going to happen because at the end of the day, that there's enough. I mean, maybe outside of hardcore social conservatives, there are enough people
on both sides
that see the taxes too.
Yep.
And that see the income and think, well, this is just dumb if we don't do that.
And
also a lot of real medical literature out there that all of a sudden you can say, okay, well,
just
actually,
what I was gonna bring up.
There's stuff we've legalized that's a hell of a lot more dangerous than this.
Oh, no. We're dealing with an opioid crisis in this country that kills more people than guns do.
Yeah.
Come on now. Let's speak on the truth about it now.
Yeah, but they've got more lobbyists in Washington.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, I don't know why Rod and I veered off on that. It's late here.
Here's our real nugget before we move on to, we're going to talk Jeff Passan, right? It's Jeff Passan thing. In 2000, Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix. In 2000, right? You know how much they could have bought Netflix for in 2000? This is back when Netflix was still mailing DVDs to people's houses. Remember that? That's what Netflix originally was.
Yo, Amazon, and then it turned into, and then it was like the Redbox stuff,
Amazon was an online book, like online like publisher. Remember? They were like Amazon Books and online books. They could have bought it for $50 million today. Blockbuster, of course, out of business.
Yeah.
Netflix is worth around $200 billion. Dollars.
Unbelievable.
Could have bought it for $50
million. Oh, wow.
So, yeah,
I never
you
knew that.
About
That's
it.
Fantastic.
Isn't that good?
Oh, good stuff there, Rod. All right, let's get back to that baseball story that we were talking about a little bit, because you said you had some audio from Jeff Passan.
Well,
The baseball guy, the Woj of Major League Baseball.
He is. Yeah, no doubt about it. And I saw this earlier, and maybe it was on Get Up, where he was on with them, but it comes from the Major League Baseball Network had it too. Well, here's him. He's speaking to the folks at Get Up, and they asked him a simple question that I think Major League Baseball should really look into.
On the fly, Greeny, I don't think that that's possible at all. Just because we saw how much A, money the NBA spent, B, how much time the NBA spent putting its bubble together. Now, an October bubble, a playoff bubble, that seems to be a much more realistic thing for Major League Baseball to embrace. And the idea that amid this second wave that it had been talking about, you know, behind the scenes for months, MLB saying, we got to end September 27th. We got to end because the second wave is coming. If you're that scared about the second wave, put a bubble together. Do it in LA. Do it in Texas. Do it in Phoenix. Do it in Florida. Do it anywhere. Do it in Dyersville, Iowa, where the Fields of Dreams game was supposed to be. I don't care. Just get a bubble together if you want the sanctity of October to exist.
KD?
I think that's probably going to be the way they're going to have to go. I thought they should have done that to begin with, and this is where The NFL players need more power. Major League Baseball players are fine. And if anything, maybe they – I don't want to say you want to give the owners more power. Actually, what you need is you need a commissioner that actually will do what's right for the sport and make the right call depending on what the scenario or situation is. But this should have been done to begin with. And I was expecting kind of what we've seen, that there was going to be cases with Major League Baseball and that – I wasn't sure how the NBA was going to, or the NHL were going to do with the bubble, but I figured it was going to be better, at least more contained, and that's definitely been the case right now. So, yes, just try and get there first off, and then if you get there, contain it, especially when it counts a lot more. It's it means a lot more. It's going to mean more once you get into the playoffs, right?
No doubt. And I'm with you. I think it's easier for Major League Baseball just based on, I mean, you can find field somewhere. I don't know how they would do it. If they're going to, I don't know if you would just actually end up reserving a couple of hotels in like a highly populated area. Not highly populated, but at least an area that's used to dealing with high population density. So maybe that's why Disneyland situation was perfect, or Disney World situation was perfect. So maybe they would go to California and see what the Disney properties are doing. Like, I don't know exactly how it would work. It's going to be tough, but like you said, they should have already had this plan in place. Or at least it should have been an option for them.
Should have had this plan in place.
Should have had an option.
And this is one of the times I will not blame Rob Manfred. This is more on Tony Clark and the players, because they didn't want that. They wanted their freedom, and they've got a lot of say. And so, and I also understand that. I mean, I'm not saying if I was a major league player that I would have been like, hey, look, I don't want to go to that bubble thing. Mm. The NBA players weren't excited about it.
No, they weren't. They weren't actually. They still complain about it.
Right.
They're still dropping little hints about how they don't like this or
all
don't
over
like
social
that.
Media. Look at the meals we're getting.
Yeah, they always. But you know what? They haven't had a positive test inside the bubble in a month. That's what really counts. So Major League Baseball, I know for the NFL it's almost impossible, because how do you get that many football fields in one place and then you have so many guys, like 50-something guys on a roster. But for Major League Baseball, I'm with you. It can be done. They got to find resorts, I guess, all over the country, which most of them I'm sure are closed, and then figure out a way to, you know, rent out the resort or reserve it and then have the bubble there. And you have fields somewhere around it so that you – see, basketball is easier because you just got to build a court somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You can build a court almost anywhere. It's hard to build a bunch of baseball fields unless you – you know, in a city area, in an urban area, unless you got a lot of space. I mean,
and
you need space.
And pro baseball fields. So the it can't be your high school dimensions or dirt or grass. You want to see some players bitching.
I agree. So, yeah, they should be building these. So, you know what? Maybe for 2021, that's what they should be building for the 2021 season.
Yeah.
Almost like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come in the middle of nowhere.
That was cool. So they canceled that. They were going to have – that was going to be one of the games. I think it was St. Louis, Detroit. They were going to play it at, like, this Field of Dreams in Iowa.
Way.
Yeah. How cool would that have been?
That was a real thing that was going to happen?
Yeah.
I would have watched that, actually.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, Cardinals-Tigers isn't going to get many people in, but that one may
sexy.
Have.
Yeah.
I do wonder if they went to hotels, too, or if they forced them to get hotels. What would Oakland's owner, what kind of crappy excuse would
mean,
he come up with?
You mean the motel that he's going to get
Oh, right, exactly.
The motel.
Now, that would be some interesting social media right there. Hey, NBA guys, you thought your meals were bad. Look where we're staying
now. The motel. No room service at the motel.
Not good at all. We'll give you that baseball schedule. We'll give you that basketball schedule, and we will wrap things up like we do here. This is The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That is good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It has been a great show. I hope you have had fun listening to the show, because it's been a damn good time bringing you the Triple Option. I want to thank my man Sam Pika. He's been doing a great job twisting and tweaking the dials. But while, we're talking sports, now it's time to let you know what's on tap for tonight. Probably going to be some sports thrown in there.
Yeah.
What you watching tonight?
Mets Nationals on ESPN. I will be checking that out. In fact, that's going on right now. Washington leading 2-0. I'm going to try and watch. The White Sox have been tearing the cover off the baseball lately.
Have they really been?
Oh, my God. The last five games, they look like a beer league softball team. I mean, these guys are huge, too. Jimenez and Robert and all those guys. They got some young talent.
Should dig a long ball.
They do, and they can mash. So I'll watch. Check that out a little bit. You got the Astros at the Diamondbacks.
Go Astros!
And a guy you mentioned.
Hey, Christian Javier, man.
Christian Javier.
He's been good. I'm telling you.
He looks really good.
He was really promising coming out of the minor leagues, and the showings that he's had so far, not a huge sample size, but he's been great, and the moment doesn't seem to overwhelm him. It seems that he can handle it, so hopefully he can stay on this positive path that he's on.
That would be huge. And like you said earlier, even if you guys don't get to the World Series or win the World Series, I know there are going to be some position guys that you're going to lose, but with that young pitching staff, you got to rebuild that, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what they're doing, because right now
Verlander's 37, Greinke's 36.
Exactly, and you got a lot of those guys that are aging, getting older. I think at this point, there is time for them to rebuild, and that's scary because, you know, the Astros, they know anything. We know they got caught for cheating and everything, so they know how to bang on trash cans. I get it. But they also, they know pitching, and they know it really well. And I think these young guys had a lot of potential. Now it's time to develop those guys. Start fine-tuning.
If you're trying to claim their success, well, not you, but people that are anti-Astros, and look, I'm not pro them cheating, and we all got hoodwinked, yada, 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 but let's not oversimplify. There was a lot of things that went into their success, and a lot of that was really good scouting, the analytics, and the guys they brought up to go with, is it Brent Strom, their pitching coach, who's been around forever and is really damn good. Just ask Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole.
No doubt.
Who were good. I mean, Verlander especially, but Cole to come in and the way they said, look, this is what you're going to throw. This is how you're going to throw it, and you're going to be better.
They come in and remade some of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, guys who had already had a huge upside, had success, and then they shattered the roof, if you will.
Yeah, they did.
Right? The ceiling is the roof, as MJ said. But they shattered that ceiling, and they were even better after they got with the Astros.
Rangers at the Athletics. That'll be on Fox Sports Southwest. And then here's one that I'm really looking forward to. That would be Dodgers-Padres. I love this young Padres lineup. I've got such a man crush on Fernando Tatis. He went oppo on a breaking ball last night. But then Lamet and Dustin May, two really good arms. Like May's the redhead,
the
carrot top he throws 99.
Yeah, I kind of like him, actually.
Yeah, and then Lamet is just like your typical Latin. I love it. The hat's tilted. He's big. He's got big-time stuff, and I think he's got a really bright future. And then you get both those offenses. So both those teams are 7-4. Rob, what do you have? I'm taking up all the timer. I'm sorry.
No. Actually, I'll probably watch some of
Rockets,
the Astros.
Trailblazers.
I'll get into some NBA games that are left tonight.
It's
you'll
TNT.
Get that. Right? Six Celtics Heat. Is Celtics Heat tonight? Yes. And then Rockets Blazers. So I'll check out Rockets Blazers and Celtics Heat. Hopefully the Rockets can keep it going, man. I think the extreme philosophy seems to be working well in this extreme environment that is the NBA bubble. We'll see if they can keep it going, though.
If anything, it's fun. And I got, just with pro sports, I got sick of 30 or 32 of the teams running the same stuff.
Agreed.
And we got it in all three sports. I appreciate the teams that don't shift now. In baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with the shift, but I don't want everyone doing it. I like that we have Baltimore. We have the Ravens.
You're right.
They're doing different stuff.
No doubt.
And Houston is kind of that for us in the NBA
I totally agree with you.
So, all right. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll recap some of that stuff. Be back for a Wednesday show. We'll have Jared Sandler on to talk a little bit of Rangers. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget, B&E will get it started at 6 o'clock. For the All-American, Rod Babers. For the All-American, just old soul. That would be Sam Pika. We'll all three be back tomorrow. I'm Kevin Dunn. You guys enjoy what sunlight you have left. Be safe. Peace.